Yo, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a very, very long time. We have been living life. Well, I've been living life. I don't know what these two have been doing, but yeah.
It's how y'all doing? It's Corona, though, man.
Corona was in there.
Somewhere. Yeah, I was in this whole month in August. I've been to New York and LA and DC. And yeah, it's Corona outside, but still. I haven't got tested positive for COVID. I got vaccinated, which you should do if you haven't already. But it was a good time, man. Shooting content, doing football
stuff. Don't be like one of the radio hosts.
What?
Oh, yeah. The radio hosts be dropping like flies, the right wing ones, dog. He said the radio hosts. I saw the thing today. I was like, damn, homie, rest in piss.
Oh, man.
But yeah. Talk to us about your escapades and whatnot since you got no holiday.
Yeah, I heard you got your Italian car. You good on Mulberry Street now?
Yo, I went to Little Italy. I met this one guy, Little John, who's a cannoli king. Real gabagoo hours.
Real gabagoo hours.
The guy basically told me, "Hey, look, if CBS ever fires you, got a job here making cannolis, my guy." So,
oh my god,
I got another salary coming in. We good on Mulberry Street. He told me when a club opens up that he owns that I'm allowed to come into the club. He said, I can't be smoking weed inside the club, though. That's literally what he said. I was like, well, because I'm black, I smoke weed. Like, what is
I was going to say, that's kind of targeted right there. Yeah.
I was like, what
did you surprised he didn't call you Vic Damone Jr. either.
I told him that's who I am. He called me an idiot. He started laughing because he knows where I was from. And he was like, what's your name? I was like, I'm Vic Damone Jr. And he goes, hey. And I was just like, all right, man. He was teaching us all these different, like hand languages. It was the funniest, man. Like, the guy's funny. But, saw some of the homies in New York. It was good times. New York was good times. Definitely missed that city. I went to L.A. for a little event. I think now that, we're moving up in the soccer world, people, notice us. So it's cool to be out in L.A., people noticing who we are. Side note, Goran Pandev just scored. So that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but yeah,
he's 40, ain't he?
2021. Oh, by the way, Joaquin was playing against Real Madrid yesterday. If anybody wants to,
no, seriously, what year is it? Are we in 2003 or
Joaquin and Goran Pandev scoring goals? Like,
this is FIFA 2007, dog.
For viewers that don't know, right? Joaquin is so old, right? He is so old. That he played with somebody that started in the 98 World Cup final and also played in the 2002 World Cup final. That's how old Joaquin is. Yeah, I'm talking about Denilson.
Yeah. Joaquin is literally 40 years old. He was born in 1981. Like, I'm not even joking. Joaquin literally has been playing football professionally since, 1999. I'm not even joking.
God bless his soul, dog.
All right, so for you guys. If you guys are old enough to remember to have played Pro Evolution Soccer, I think two and three particularly, Real Betis were one of the best teams in the game purely for what they had in the wings in Joaquin and Denilson. Like, they were the hipster team before the term hipster team was coined. Like, that's what, the real nerds would use on Pro Evolution Soccer. Like, that's how old he is, basically.
One of my favorite Joaquin moments is when it was him and Vicente on the wings for Valencia, and then David Silva.
That Valencia team is part of the reason why I'm so...
About Del Horno and Ayala and Ruben Baraja.
Yep.
Angulo, what's his name? Keely Gonzalez, Ayala, Albelda.
Their goalkeeper was what? Canizares, right?
Yes,
Canizares, yeah.
And he was there from Arsenal.
He came in 05-06.
Yep.
Yeah, he came in 05-06. Aymar, obviously, Claudio Lopez, bro, Mendieta. I could go on, actually.
They were ballers.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
two CL finals back to back, man. Come on, man. It's not something you do every year.
Rafa had a run with them, right? He won them La Liga.
He won them La Liga in 2001, 2002.
Yep. Yeah. That's kind of wild to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. But yeah, I mean, that's what I've been doing. How y'all been? I feel like we haven't really like done anything, man.
It's good, man. Season was done. We're not Fabrizio Romano. We're not, you know, DiMarzio and all them people. We don't break transfer rumors. We just party and bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been an interesting time, you know, with the I want to put quote unquote break that we had. football's back already. We're into the third game of the season already, and yeah, it's just been a bit of a whirlwind in that regard.
All right, I'm gonna cut the small talk. Talk to us about Arsenal, Moose. How you feeling, bud?
I was trying my best not to make any eye contact because I knew the question was coming.
I don't even gotta make eye contact. I could be tying my shoes, but I'm still gonna ask you that question.
My guy said fuck the foreplay. We're getting straight into it.
Okay, so this isn't gonna be an Arsenal pod, guys. We're gonna get the painful part out straight away, but I'll try to break it down as quickly as I can. So from a fan's perspective, a fan like me, because I can't speak to everybody's fans, but a fan like me's perspective, I'm not too bothered. I'm more bothered about the fact that we lost to Brentford, and I'm more bothered about the fact that we went to another top four side and got absolutely battered. You know, even though it hasn't happened for like 5 or 6 years, it's still another, you don't want to be losing by 4 or 5 goals, you know, to anybody. Like, you just don't want it to happen, let alone to a team that 10 years ago was losing 8-1 to Middlesbrough, you know. So it's just one of those things, you don't want that to happen. But I will say, I'm not particularly displeased with what's happening, only because I genuinely feel like Arsenal deserve it. You know, I know it might sound crazy, but I do feel like Arsenal deserve it from everything that we've, it's a culmination of everything that we've done, pretty much from around the time Arsene Wenger decided, Arsene Wenger started thinking about leaving. So I'd probably say around 2015, 2016, It's been bubbling, you know, like, you know, the way the fans have treated him, the way the board end up, you know, letting him go. Even though I think he had 1 year left on his contract or something like that. You know, and then obviously the Ozil situation, you know, signing Willian was just, oh my gosh, the Saliba situation. I feel like all these decisions, it's like, how can you be so annoyed when you're watching your club do stupidness over and over again, and you still think you deserve good things? You don't deserve good things because you're doing stupidness and you're acting as if this is not all your own doing. Arsenal are not better than any of these teams that we've lost to in the opening games of the season. They were all better than us on the day, and Chelsea and Man City obviously better than us, kind of thing. But Arsenal should be performing at a level where we go to Brentford and should be able to win, and we're not. And we'll probably win against Norwich. It'll be a bit of a good feeling around the team and everything like that. We might beat Tottenham as well. You never know, because they're shit as well. Even though they started relatively decent, I still don't think they're anything special.
How scared are you to lose to Norwich?
I'm not really. To be honest, Arsenal will beat Norwich. Like, I'm not. And to be honest, that's not even me saying, oh, because we're Arsenal. It's more the fact that you're not going to lose 3 games in a row, and then your next game after the international break, when most of your players probably won't be away. I'm counting like Xhaka. Like, Arsenal haven't got that many great internationals that be starting for their team right now. Do you know what I mean? So after an international break, like, let's be honest, like, Lacazette isn't going to be starting for France. Do you know what I mean?
Odegaard's got the call up, right?
I think Odegaard got a call up. You know what I mean? But even then, like, you know, he's going to be, he'll come back. He'll be like Smith Rowe. You know what I mean? Like, players that will probably start against Norwich aren't going to be, you know, burnt out, if you like, from the international break. So Arsenal should be okay. But if we're talking long term and how I feel, kind of thing, it's probably going to sound even crazier, but I am weirdly optimistic. And I'm not saying that purely because, oh, like, you know, every team has their turn, you know, like Liverpool shit for how long, and then they'll eventually. But it's not even that. It's just that I'm looking at clear and obvious things. Arsenal, the good things that Arsenal have done is that the profile of player that we're signing, for the most part, have all been under 23 years old, and they all have been promising players. So again, re-signing Balogun, I think, was huge, because I really, really rate the kid. He knows where the goal is. You know, we'll see it soon enough. You know, maybe if we get one more creative player in the team, we'll really see it. But you know, re-signing Balogun, obviously Odegaard was, I love Odegaard. That was a huge signing. I wouldn't have been too displeased with Maddison, but I'm happy with Odegaard regardless. You know, tying down Smith Rowe, obviously the Saka. Sambi Lokonga is my type of midfielder. Absolutely my type of midfielder. He is
how you say his name?
Yeah.
I always thought it was a Willie Longomba.
My guy talking like a fucking American. He's been here too long.
But again, he's my type of midfielder, you know what I mean? He can pick the ball up from deep. He's really confident on the ball. He's not going to give the ball away. And he's got a bit of dog in him as well. You know, he's literally like the type of midfielder Arsenal should have signed probably 2 years ago. And, you know, we're there now, essentially. But he's 21. I'm not expecting the world from him. But it's a solid base to build on. And, you know, again, look, there's Tierney there. There's Tierney still there as well.
He's your best player by like a long stretch.
Yeah. He's quality. He's just top quality, man. Hopefully he can stay fit. Gabriel's there. Hopefully Saliba comes back. You know, like that's a good core for any coach to kind of work with, and he starts supplementing it with experience and genuine quality, and then you see where you go from there. So in the long term, as long as we can hold on to these players, kind of thing, I'm not too worried. It's just that this is the period now where essentially Arsenal needs to actually end. As long as Arteta's in a job right now, this is where he needs to earn his money. This is where he needs to actually get all of these players fit and playing together consistently. Because we've only got one game a week. You have to remember that as well. Arsenal have only got one game a week. So if he can manage to maneuver them week to week and getting them in a rhythm and playing together every week, Arsenal should be finishing within the top six, top seven teams. Like, relatively, I wouldn't say super comfortably, but without any real fuss, you know. A push for a Europa League place isn't beyond Arsenal, regardless of how we started. Anybody that wants to take the piss out of Arsenal, yeah, you take the piss out of Arsenal. But if you actually screw on your head logically, Arsenal should still be able to push for a top six, top seven place easily. That's just the reality of it. But you never know in football these days. That's the only thing. But me personally, on the long term, I'm not too worried, and I'm pretty optimistic. But this season, this is the season where Arteta or whoever comes in, if he doesn't make it, has to earn their money, because There's enough there for you to get something out of this season, 100%. That's just how I feel.
Every time you say earn their money, I think about that Avon clip from The Wire. I think it's season when he's like, all right, Playboy, it's time for you to earn your keep.
Hey, look, man, that's probably the most succinct Arsenal answer I've heard in a long time. And look, everyone knows I make jokes about Arsenal all the time in the timeline. Yeah. It is what it is.
But I felt bad yesterday. That's all you need to know. My
thing is, like, if anybody can't tell that, like, I actually genuinely, like, have respect for Arsenal, then you can go, you know, I was going to say something mean, but I can't be saying mean things on the air.
Like, the dick, man. That's what I wanted to tell you.
I wasn't going to say
thing. It's all good. It's a mean thing.
I was going to say, like, if you genuinely, like, take offense to what I said about Arsenal, you can, what JME said, you can suck your mum for Ribena store, innit?
Hey.
But realistically, man, look, here's how I feel. Like, Arsenal have done a decent job of, like, trying to rebuild. It's going to take time. It's like what United were doing with Ollie. It's going to be rough. You're going to have your peaks and your valleys, and, like, now United are in a position
and
where...
That's great to cut you, and that's the thing as well, people forget as well. While Arsenal are doing this, people say, oh, yeah, Arsenal have money to spend, but we don't have... We have money to spend. We don't have United money to spend.
Arsenal, we don't even spend our money.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Arsenal spent 72 million on Pepe kind of thing, but then you look at the other side of it. What is he on? I think Pepe's on 120 a week. You know, yeah. United on the side Sancho for less than Pepe, but it was only by about 10 million. How much is he? 60, 65?
Something like that.
Exactly. But then you look at Sancho's wages and it's literally double Pepe. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, people don't really take that into account. It's not as simple and as black and white.
He's also a bit younger than Pepe and considerably better, in my opinion.
Of course, but I'm literally talking about from a money perspective. Also, like, we can't spend it the way you guys think we can. Yeah, we could have made better signs and stuff like that. But again, if we make a mistake, United make a mistake, and you know what? They'll go and spend 60 million next year to correct that mistake anyway. You know, we'll try to correct the mistake at least. Arsenal aren't really in that position. So there's that as well. But sorry, Tosin, carry on.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, Arsenal, yeah, it's jokes. Ha ha, ha ha. Arsenal suck. Ha ha, yeah, yeah. But they be all right, man. They tough. You tough, right?
To be honest, I'm enjoying the fact that I'm seeing so many, and I say that I don't mean this in a mean way, but I'm seeing so many people that, you know, parade themselves as these diehard whatever fans, but they're casuals. They actually are casuals, and they can't seem to really grasp what's happening. They think it's this, they think it's that, and they can't really see the bigger picture. All they're really concerned about is, oh, who's going to take the piss out of them? You know what I mean? That's not it. That's not what football is. That's not what being a fan is, basically. That, and people like that, they're so confused as to what's actually happening. They can't really see that this has been bubbling for a very long time, and they seem to think that this is, you know, it's undeserved, and you get what you put out. And if you make stupid decision after stupid decision, you're going to actually end up with a stupid team and a stupid position of the league. That's it, you know?
Bro, look, man, at the end of the day, we can move on eventually after this and, like, talk about other things that we should talk about. But look, man, at the end of the day, Arsenal be all right, man. Look, we can make jokes, we can do this, we can do that. Arsenal be all right at the end of the day. They're going to be fine. Football, like, it's a long season, man. We're in fucking August. Like, anybody who's trying to take anything seriously right now, just stop it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So, let's address the elephant in the room. Lionel Messi. I'm going to make his debut.
I thought it was the other elephant.
Nah, that one is coming later. I got a video for that one that we play in the air. Shout out to Vince McMahon.
That video consensual, by the way, just so we know. We're on the same page. That video is consensual, right?
I think so.
Okay.
But yeah, Lionel Messi plays for PSG now. So you guys want to talk about that, or do you guys want to just, like, you know,
Well, put it like this: Messi being in France and Mbappe wanting out is the most PSG thing ever. Like, if you could sum up PSG in a saga, that would be it. You've literally signed the greatest player of all time, and somebody that arguably could, you know, be up there by the end of his career, still wants out. Anyway, if that isn't PSG, then I don't know what is, basically. You know, Messi going to Ligue 1 is going to be fun. Absolute fun, because while they're going to, you know, they're obviously going to try and kick him and whatnot and everything like that, he's still going to be dancing around them regardless. But I really want to see that them play. I don't want Mbappe to go to Real Madrid this year, because I feel like a lot of Messi's, you know, productivity and whatnot will fall down to having Mbappe to play with. You know, Neymar's almost is obviously always there as well. Verratti's there as well. But having Mbappe in that team with Messi, it should yield, I don't know, at least 60 goals and assists for Messi. You know, it really should. That should be his target. I'll get 60 goals and assists if I've got Mbappe and Neymar playing. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's my takeaway from it.
My only take is that Hakimi and Messi on the right side overlapping is going to be a lot of fun.
It's rude.
It's going to be worth the price of admission.
You guys remember when Jay-Z cried?
It's vulgar. It is vulgar. It's unnecessary.
It's vulgar. Yeah, that's really it. So.
I mean, there's not much to say. League One's probably a wrap. But I mean, let's see. They didn't get Messi for League One, man. They got him for one thing only.
My dog said probably.
I mean, respectfully to the other teams in there, Lille, Nice, Lyon. At least give them some effort for participating this year.
Yeah.
I mean, side note, shout out to Marseille, man. Marseille sending me a kit, and they're just great. So shout out to Marseille.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Send me a kit, maybe I'll boost them up.
Thank you for babysitting two of our best prospects as well. We'll be taking them back next year. Thank you very much.
Who's Saliba and Guendouzi?
Guendouzi, yeah.
Actually, I have a funny thing to say about that. You guys remember the fight? The violence in the...
Oh, yes. My God.
Bro, a madness.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because...
That's France in general. Like, they don't like something. They just riot, innit? Like... It's Monday morning, you don't want to go work. You know what? We're going to fucking riot. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to strike.
And that's it.
No, that Marseille trainer pulling up, one quick jab, and then backstepping out of the way is hilarious. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't even care. Violence sometimes is the answer, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Violence is definitely the answer.
As Matt Bonds, you know, rightfully said, you know, violence isn't always the answer, but sometimes it is.
Exactly.
Sometimes it is, man. It be
Barnes
like
316.
That is crazy. That is insane. For God only loved the world so much that he gave us violence.
It's a duality of man.
Yeah. Sometimes you want peace. Sometimes you want problems. I don't want peace. I want problems. Always.
Well, Messi. Well, what do you think? What do you think that, you know, the end goal for Messi is after PSG? Do you think that's it for him, or do you think he does MLS as well?
Oh, he's doing MLS.
I mean, unlike some people, can actually leave the country.
Oh no! But yes, he can.
Yeah, he can go to Miami, Nevada, anywhere he wants. Like,
some people can't.
When we get Messi and Benz in Inter Miami in 2 years, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Oh, can you imagine Benz trying to get Messi into one of his drip videos and Messi is just standing there awkwardly with his dog?
Messi gonna be in there like a fucking substitute teacher, dog.
Literally, he's gonna stand there like this, he's gonna wave like this.
Be like one of them Simpsons characters, just like this.
You can imagine like Benz is walking through slow motion and Messi's just there like completely out of sync with everything, like
fucking Milhouse Messi like this.
Oh, but yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I see him in the MLS, to be honest. Probably does like a year or two and then that'll be it. But this is it for him. I think this is the last hurrah.
Wait, you don't think he goes back to Argentina? He probably doesn't go back to Argentina.
Nah, I don't think he goes back to Argentina.
Maybe like a 3 month, you know.
Yeah.
Chill out, hang out, contract, that's about it. It'd be cool to see him in Argentina again, honestly, though.
Yeah, and what was it? For Newell's Old Boys?
Newell's,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nostalgia sells, you know. But I mean, more than nostalgia, like, him in Argentina is cool. Why not? Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think PSG's business is done this window? Do you reckon they try and get someone else in?
I thought they need a left back, but people are telling me, like, nah, it's not happening, so.
I think they've needed a left back for probably since Maxwell left, probably. I think that's been a problem area for them for a long time.
Bernat was good when healthy, but the problem is the health.
Exactly. And that's being healthy is literally 90% of the equation.
Yeah. Kurzawa seemed on his way out. So
yeah, Kurzawa is obviously a top level footballer, but he's not good enough for what PSG want to do.
So he's probably cooked. He's gone. Yeah. I don't know, man. I thought they would get Theo. I thought before the window happened, before Messi happened, anything. I thought Hakimi and Theo Hernandez were their two signings, and I'm like, you know what? That's literally going to solidify them a lot, the back line and everything, especially because Ramos was already in the fold.
Yeah, exactly.
Ramos was already in the fold. You could play three back with two attacking wing backs.
Yeah.
Go back and forth. And they're good on both sides of the ball, Hakimi and Hernandez. So I said, oh, you know, that's the strategy. They were getting Wijnaldum. He was linked to it. So that was done. I'm like, all right, these are well-rounded, you know, moves.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's probably if Mbappe goes, then the Richarlison thing will literally have to happen in 48 hours, which is a very good chance it would. You know, money talks. You know, but
that's some nasty business, man.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. I'd rather just go in the season. That's, you know, whatever. Because Richarlison is,
bring back Keane, dude. He worked. Why overthink it? Bring back Keane.
He's already at Juventus now.
He's gone to Juventus.
Yeah,
they already signed sealed because I saw that.
Yeah, he's in the medical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Richarlison, did y'all see what that motherfucker did this weekend?
No.
Y'all didn't see it? Oh my god. Alright, no. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin had a penalty and basically Richarlison.
Oh yeah.
Trying to grab the ball and like, what is wrong with this guy? You know what he is? Yeah. The thing I love about him the most is he has so much irrational confidence in himself. He's the most mid person in the world, but that guy thinks he is literally like 1998 Danielson, and I love that for him. Like, he love him.
You know what he is? He's a gym all-star. You know how you had those tryhards in gym class?
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's literally him in a nutshell. Super competitive. That's, off the rip.
Like, the self-awareness just isn't all there. Like,
yeah.
But if I was PSG and I lose Mbappe, then I'd be like, okay, we'll find someone next summer. We're good on you, Charlie.
You know what's the craziest thing, though? We all saying this shit, and these motherfuckers still got Di Maria.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how I feel about that, bozo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That football's funny. All right, let's address the other elephant in the room, man. Fuck it. Let's just do it. We've been pretending like if it doesn't exist.
That's so you know, before we address it, we have all consented to talk about it. That's over here. We believe in giving consent before we do anything. So just so you know, we're clear on that.
Yeah. Yep. So number 7 is back in Manchester United again.
Yes, almost. It's almost exactly 18 years exactly. Right. Something like that.
Oh my god. No, but no, man. United built a lot of goodwill this transfer window the last couple of years, the whole correcting the wages, you know, doing things the United way, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, let's bring back Ronaldo. And you know the worst part is it's those fucking Glazer bastards who got Tom Brady in Tampa, and they're like, oh look, superstar propelled us to the title, we can do it in Europe, and they're like, all right, let's bring Ronaldo back. It's quite literally that, and it blows my mind, man.
You know, I'm sure I've shared it with you guys before. I sent you guys a tweet that I tweeted from my account February 21st this year. I said, made out his strategy this year basically is Cristiano Ronaldo's like Tom Brady, right? Because I knew once I saw the glazes glint in their eyes when they won the Super Bowl, I was like, these motherfuckers, I should have put a bet back in February that we're going to bring Cristiano back. I just knew it. Like, I just know that these motherfuckers, that's their thing. For them, it's just like, yeah, let's do this. And it's just like, why? Like, why do you guys have to do this? So you don't have to do this. But they did it anyway.
We watched Fred out there for 90 minutes today. And you're going to tell me buying a DM wasn't a more reasonable answer.
Dog.
But okay, I have some questions, and you guys are always the best place to answer it, right? Mm-hmm. So... As a United fan, like, I just want quick answers. Sorry, did you want him back? Either of you?
No.
Okay. No. Did you care? Did you care that you went to City? Would you have cared if you went to City?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Great. That's okay.
I'm on record about that. Also, like, yeah, I really didn't care.
Those are two of the most important things. But one of the final things I want to ask you is, do you genuinely feel like United only went with him because he was close to City?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 100% that. Ego, it's 100% that.
All right. Because I was because I personally think that I have my own theory on this, and you can correct me, but I personally think City explored the possibility of it. They were interested for a very short time. That's what I think. They were interested, and then they were like, Pep ultimately just said, you know what, I'm not really a fan. It's Kane or nobody. And I feel like his agent has used City to basically, you know, I don't want to say trick United, but basically use City as leverage, essentially. And City, while he's using City as leverage, City have literally already called the interest from, I'd want to say, as early as last week, but it seems as if he was close on Thursday. But they'd already decided at some point, okay, yeah, this isn't for us, kind of thing. And Mendes has obviously just been like, yeah, City are still interested, blah, blah, blah. And United, like, and then that's where he had all of the ex-players like leaking their texts from Thursday and whatnot, saying, yeah, you have to come to us. And then Ronaldo's like, yeah, I'm coming, whatever. And then obviously Ferdy was there. And then on Thursday, Ole was like, if you play for United, you can't play for City, blah, blah, blah. I really feel like, I don't say United were hoodwinks, but I feel like Mendes has really played it incredibly smartly. And I don't think City were fully convinced the way where we've been led to believe. You know,
I think City had interest. I think Ronaldo 100%. Had interest in City as well. I think what came down to was, do you see this contract United signed Ronaldo to?
540 a week.
Some shit like that. 480 or 540 a week. City are smarter than that. We're not.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the matter. They've got a strict budget for what? They've got a strict budget for De Bruyne. They've got a strict budget for Sterling. Across the board, even Grealish. Grealish was their new marquee signing. How much did he get? He's probably on like 150, 125 a week.
Yeah,
they're not blowing up their structure for some shit like this. United finally got rid of the Alexis shit. De Gea is the only high earner, and what do? You bring in Ronaldo at 40 a week with Pogba's extension looming. What are Mino and fucking Pogba gonna do now? They're gonna be like, all right, you gave him 480, we want 400. You're gonna pay him 400? I know some United fans are just like, yeah, pay him whatever, but that defeats the purpose, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I just what kind of got me as well is the fact that I said I was getting a bit of a I got a few pelters because I said to a friend that I feel like it was a bit of a red flag that City decided to call the interest. I'm like, why do you say that? What's the history of that? I was like, the whole Alexis thing. Like, I think that's a big enough of a red flag because Alexis was on his way to City. Like, I know that for a fact. He was on his way to City. And then his wages literally just like, okay, that's what City just immediately halted their interest. And I'm like, okay, we're not doing it kind of thing. If that's what you want, we're not doing it kind of thing. I was like, shouldn't that have been a red flag as well for you guys? Like, oh no, you know, who cares? It's Ronaldo. Like, you pay what you want. I'm thinking, no, City, you know, City in a way are kind of like buying in the sense that if they want a player, then decide against it. You should probably look twice at that player as well and just be like a bit, you know. I remember they did it with Pepe and look at how he turned up for us as well kind of thing. So it's, you know, that was my take on it. Okay, yeah, Ronaldo is, you know, greatest goal scorer of the generation, all of that cool and everything, but City have decided against it. You know, it's probably something that, you know, the analytical heads at United probably should have looked at a bit closely before, you know, pulling the trigger. But
though I wonder how much of the Mendy optics weighed in with that also.
You know, that's another thing as well. That's definitely another thing as well. And actually, that's a good question. Actually, I want to tell someone, what do you think was the weighting on that? Because again, the Mendy stuff happened so fast. That Friday was manic. Was it Friday? What? Yeah.
What, United signing Cristiano?
Yeah, well, City were potentially signing him and the Mendy stuff comes.
That was Thursday into Friday. It was all like a 36-hour window.
I think that has a lot to do with it, but I also feel with United signing Cristiano, and I spoke to somebody else about this just in the conversation, because I was trying to make sense. I was like, it's an ego thing, right? I was like, Cristiano's easily one of United's greatest players of all time. It is what it is. Like, you can say that. Like, he you know, whatever. But the optics look bad, right? You don't want your greatest player of all time going to your cross-city rivals who are like trying to come up and like become the next big brand of football clubs, right?
Yeah.
And for optics thing, United just did an ego thing. It's like, well, we're not going to let that happen on our watch. So, you know, everyone called in the big dogs and they did their little, like, and here's the thing for a lot of people who like, you know, listen to our podcast and this, I used to work in PR heavily. Like, I was heavy in PR. Like, I'm very knowledgeable about what statements and like what brands do. Like, I did brand management and all of that. I'm telling you to tell this because I look at the way United run from my PR background, right? I look at everything in the way from a PR perspective, like the way clubs run, the way clubs sign players. Like, a lot of it, you know, is ego shit, right? Like, United don't need Cristiano Ronaldo, but it's an ego boost, right? Like, you can now go around saying, oh, we got the greatest player of all time. Like, now the player, you can see how happy United players are. Like, The most liked tweet of all time. Like, that shit is the most liked tweet of all time. The most like on Instagram. United, you know, this sort of stuff gets the Glazers wet. Like, this makes them so excited. Like, oh man, like, you know,
they're engaged merchants.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally, they love that shit. That shit turns them on. Like, it is what it is. So I feel part of that was like, you know, yo, we don't want this guy going and we're gonna do everything.
And that's fair. That's definitely I think that's fair, but at the same time, with modern football, all of this romanticism and, you know, let's be honest, it's dead. Ronaldo goes to, like, we should have learned from the Messi stuff, you know, like that romanticism of it. Like, modern football isn't ruled on that anymore. It just it's impossible pretty much. If Ronaldo goes to City, so what? Like, literally, as a United fan, I'd literally be thinking, so what? Okay, like, he left us 12 years ago anyway, do you know what I mean? Like, so what? He's literally at the end of his career, you know. But again, like you said, the engagement merchants, you know, Oli is definitely one of the biggest nostalgia merchants as well. I can imagine he was probably telling them he cannot go to City as well, kind of things. But looking at the bigger picture, I as a United fan, I wouldn't care. I'd just be like, whatever, innit? Like, he's at City, so what?
you gotta understand, like, Panit and I and a few other people I'm cool with are United fans who have actually sense. There's other United fans who are just so romantical about Cristiano Ronaldo, like, it hurts them to see him, like, go anywhere else. You know, it's like,
I'll be honest, Tevez going to City hurt me more than Ronaldo would have been.
This is what I was going to say as well. You see, now that is legitimate. Because Tevez still had a lot to offer.
And Tevez loved United. He had beef with Fergie, but he genuinely loved United. So to see him go there, he won the title, what, 11-12 or some shit? Yeah. Yeah, that was when they won the title. He had a big hand in that season also. That was a real bummer, especially because him and Rubinho, like those back-to-back summers, kind of really legitimized City in some sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, Tevez playing for City, still in the prime of his career, hurts infinitely more than Ronaldo on his dying legs, you know?
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, a lot of pro-Ronaldo people, a lot of United people are like, oh, he's a lock to guarantee you goals and everything, like... Goals from up top, probably, yeah, it's a little bit of a concern, but did you see us today? We can't build up for shit. We cannot build up for shit. We have a turnstile playing a DM today. He was literally getting spun by Adama, spun in traffic. Man, if you told me we could have done something like sign a good DM, young DM, like Kamara or whatever, get like a depth signing at striker, I would have been perfectly fine with that. Optic wise, it looks great because you address the big need, and they just went ahead full nostalgia and they're like, nah, we're gonna get Ronaldo back and this is it. Look, we beat City to Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And the thing that sucks is like United were actually doing well with like their transfers and stuff. Like they're actually like making sense of the things that they were doing. But getting Cristiano Ronaldo, I mean, I think it is a boost for the players. Like, you know, a lot of these players, for example, like you saw Lingard's picture, like how Lingard looked up to Cristiano, right?
Yeah.
Like, for these guys, this is their hero. Like, someone like Rashford, that's Rashford's hero. This is, you know, Santos' hero. These guys' heroes. Right? So they finally got
that's like the game. One minuscule plus, because, like, a lot of people say the attackers are going to learn a lot from Ronaldo, which is big. Let's not kid ourselves. Like, mentally, he has a lot to offer and teach the kids. That's 100% true. I won't deny that.
Yeah.
I mean, physically, what's he got left? You're not going against, you know, Serie A strikers anymore. You're not going against, you know, the likes of Sassuolo and Torino or whatever. It's, you know, you got Ruben Dias, you got Virgil van Dijk, you got Rudiger, you got fucking top level competition, people who fucking play ball.
Yeah, man, like Rob Holding as well. Like, he's gonna, you know, it's gonna be tough for him, I think, man. So, yeah.
It's all fun and games to Rob Holding puts you in a fucking gulag.
Everyone's a gangster until Rob Holding walks onto the pitch.
Exactly.
It's all fun and games.
The best player of all time, Eric Dier, of course.
He speaks Portuguese as well, just like Ronaldo. What do you know?
Oh, exactly. You know,
as you say in Europe, idea, because small.
But yeah, I don't know how it will. I can imagine United will play him as the number nine. You can't put him on the left. Like he's just
no. Those days are done. No.
That boy got stiffer hips than Martial.
Yeah.
we're about to see a proper tap-in merchant.
Yeah.
At least the service is there. I mean, he'll have service from Bruno, from Pogba.
We're about to have the greasing Inzaghi.
Yeah. All right, Liverpool Chelsea.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, it's actually good because they played each other yesterday as well.
Thomas Tuchel is that guy.
Yeah, I don't want to call them dark horses because they have Mo Salah. Any team with Mo Salah cannot be dark horses. But I feel like you know we've kind of, in a way, kind of forgot about them in a sense in terms of title challenge. Liverpool to me. Will probably be the ones to really, really push City, I think, out of everyone. As much as I rate Chelsea, and I do rate them, I really, really think Liverpool will be out for blood for pretty much everyone. I never look forward to going to Anfield, but this year I'm absolutely dreading it. Honestly, like I really do think with their full defense back now, and Fabinho fit as well. That's the basis of how they won the league. Regardless of what you think about the other midfielders and attackers and stuff like that, that back, you know, 5-6 with Alisson as well, if they stay fit, they are pushing everyone to the very end. That's just the way I feel about it. You know, I don't feel like they're gonna be super entertaining and blowing teams away and stuff like that, but they're gonna be incredibly hard to beat. They're really going to be incredible. That's the way I feel about it, honestly.
I had concerns about Liverpool last year. I had concerns again about Liverpool this year, man. You look at the depth behind Robertson and Alec, you know, Trent, then what? Yeah. People saying, okay, we'll throw Milner right back. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I understand the depth with the center backs now because they finally reinforced it because you have Gomez, Virgil, Konate, and what's his name? Joel Matip.
Yeah.
That's a very solid core. Even if Matip goes to AFCON this year, you still have depth there between Konate, Virgil, Gomez, and they'll throw some makeshift center back in there, no problem.
Yeah.
My concern is the forwards now because you have the big three, Mane, Firmino, Mo Salah. And then you have an auxiliary piece like Jota, where it's kind of like, all right, he can fill anywhere in the front three, but AFCON comes up.
Yeah.
You have Firmino and Jota. That's it. Now, what happens if one of them is injured?
That is true. That is very true. I actually forgot about AFCON.
And I mean, even beyond AFCON, here's the thing: say Mane picks up a knock, Firmino picks up a knock. Whatever, the game is a game. Anyone in the front three gets injured, you lose your depth because now your starter is in there. Or your sub is your super sub is now a starter.
Yeah.
I think forwards is still an area of concern for them. I know they've got like they've just stockpiled a bunch of center mids, but like what's really working there? Henderson's good, Thiago is good, Fabinho is excellent.
Yeah.
Then you have Curtis Jones, you know, they're gonna lean on they trust and lean on Curtis Jones a lot, so that'll be interesting this year. Elliot looks like he's going to earn his burn, which is good.
Do you know what I was going to say as well? Funnily enough, we can talk about the forwards. Harvey Elliott, even though he's been playing him as the most advanced midfielder, he really is, to me, a right-wing forward anyway, right or wide playmaker. So he can easily play in the front three on the right. Easily. So then go on.
You watch that game versus Chelsea. He was tending to float in the same area as Salah just to kind of exactly. past him.
Exactly.
He probably could cover in some extent to that right side spot.
He won't be the goal scorer. He'd literally have to be the provider from that side, which I really have faith in him. I think he's a really, really, really interesting player, man. He's one to watch, definitely.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, that's my concern with Liverpool right now. The fullback depth, the forward depth.
Yeah.
I mean, center mids are center mids. They're all good. But then, you know, between depth and form, who knows what happens.
I think
Chelsea's a team to beat this year, bar none.
And that's why I feel like I might be, this is probably where I feel like I might be the idiot here, because I definitely rate Chelsea highly. And I look at their defenders, right? And obviously the addition of Lukaku. But there's something about them. I just think you're still not really as good as City. Like I feel like there's a def. I can physically see the gap between them and City. That's how I feel. I don't know what it is. I just feel like as good as they are, and as good as the coach Tuchel is, like Mendy's obviously a great, great goalkeeper. It's very obvious
when he looked very good yesterday. By the way. Yeah.
Exactly. When a goalkeeper is good, it's one of those ones where you can tell like that. You can tell obviously kind of thing. So there's an amazing base there. Reece James again, super, super, super promising. Like he's already good now, and he's going to be fantastic, right?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. On the left side as well, you've got you know, the guy, you know, that probably needs his driver's license revoked, but for some reason the authorities haven't got to there for whatever reason.
Did you see that comment by Rudiger today?
Dangerous society. I can't believe that. Like,
read the room, Playboy. Come on.
Yeah. Like, and you know that centre back depth. You know, I think they're even still looking at what's his name, the fellow from Seville.
Kunde.
Yeah, I think that'll probably be done. You know, then you've got, you know, Rudiger. Yeah,
Zuma got confirmed to West Ham this morning. So exactly. Probably a good chance they go for that.
Yeah, exactly. So again, Rudiger, Christensen, Thiago Silva is still there, obviously. Like, you know, there's
very good veteran center back mentor type.
Exactly. Then you look at their midfield. Kante, again, one of the best in the world. You know, what's his name? Kovacic has found form. Jorginho, you know, European player of the Champions League, even though that was a farce, obviously. But these are all players that, even if I don't particularly think they're amazing, they're more than good enough to push Chelsea, you know, almost all the way. Where I think their problem for me lies is for some, I don't feel like there's that real amazing creative hub there. And it, maybe if because they want to build from their fullbacks, I don't know. But there isn't that one player that I think that every time he gets the ball, like, there's danger there. Mason Mount is actually really, really good at being in those creative positions. I just don't think that, like, he the way he receives the ball and turns the ball is great. I just don't think he has that, you know, that thing. I don't know where it is, but that extra, you know,
creativity, instinct.
Yeah, the extra creativity that someone like a Grealish or KDB could do. Like,
you know, I think Havertz is that guy for them this year.
Yeah, but Havertz plays a bit further along than in
just he plays a false nine CF type.
Yeah, exactly. He's not that creative guy. Don't get me wrong. Like, Havertz knows where's the goal is, and he's an incredibly smart mover. He's just a really smart player in general, but. I really feel like that could really be the Achilles order. If they was to get somebody that can consistently feed it into Havertz and Lukaku kind of thing, then yeah, 100%. I'm like, okay, you know, Chelsea are definitely the ones that are going to be the ones to push them there. But I don't.
Which is funny because watching that game versus Liverpool yesterday, you could almost say Mount is that guy.
Yeah,
it's just such an enigma at times. Like, there was times he was driving down that left flank.
Yeah,
and he either played a late ball or a bad ball. Or just a ball out of position to Havertz and Lukaku, and they couldn't get a clean shot off. Mind you, they were on a counter. They were on a break. They had numbers.
Exactly. And it's just like that sort of player there that knows when, like, the weight of pass, everything like that, that is there to create kind of thing. I just feel like in a way Chelsea might be missing that. But again, it could be down to Tuchel's tactics. Maybe that's the way he wants to play. Maybe he wants to maximize the fullbacks and make sure Lukaku's always, you know, winning his duels via, like, you know, crosses and, you know, balls into his feet kind of thing. But, you know,
that's maybe eventually trust Pulisic or Ziyech to do that.
Yeah, again, maybe.
That's a type of profile, being creative players, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But again, I feel like both those players are great wide rather than, you know, being in the center. But it is what it is. But yeah.
All I can say is that Lukaku yesterday looked exactly how I thought he was going to look at United. y'all can call me a hater all you want, but that dude looked like everything why I didn't want him to come back to United. Like, he looks stiff. But if I say
I thought he looked okay yesterday, honestly, going against Virgil. Service was a little subpar. I mean, listen, he ate against Arsenal. He's, as long as he finishes well against, you know, the bottom 15 teams, and does capably against the other top 5 or 4, whatever, not including Chelsea, they'll be fine.
Yeah, the common circumstance there, the coach.
I mean, whatever.
He's just not a fan.
I respect it, man. If you're not a fan, you're not a fan. I've come around to him a little bit.
Do you know what it is? I feel like Lukaku, Arsenal are, whenever we say, oh yeah, he done well against Arsenal, like, Arsenal aren't the team they were 3 years ago, let alone 4 or 5 years ago, where you'd be like, okay, do you know what? That's a good Arsenal team, and, you know, this forward has done really well there against them kind of thing. No, it's like, Arsenal are playing Rob Holding, bro, and Pablo Mari. Like, these guys are eating up significant minutes. You can't, like, you know, you can't keep saying, oh yeah, you know, he done well against Arsenal, because no, look at the quality of Arsenal right now in their defense. It doesn't, to me, that's why I just looked at it like, okay, yeah, Lukaku done well today, but you are infinitely stronger and faster than Pablo Mari. Like, there's nothing Pablo Mari can do against you at all. You're going to batter him in every sense of the word. There's nothing he has for you. So doing well against us is good because obviously it helps you build your confidence, but it's not a fair way to assess, you know, how far along he's coming. I remember Gary Neville in particular waxing lyrical about him after the Arsenal game, thinking, like, yeah, he's done well today. Because if he didn't score against us, I'd be like, yeah, that's a bit of a concern. But even then, the fact that he scores, like, is nothing surprising. You didn't learn anything new. You didn't, there was nothing. It was just Pablo Mari, bro. Like, what else can I say? And that was it. But yeah, you're right. He'll comfortably, you know, bag, you know, quite a few goals against the bottom 15 teams kind of thing. You guys can both tell me his biggest issue was against the top 4 sides, where he just wouldn't produce. And that was it, you know.
Remains to be seen. I mean, I feel like he'll be okay.
Yeah,
I just don't give a fuck.
Like, I mean, scams don't care. That ship has sailed for him.
Yeah, like, so I had to deal with that shit. Everybody that was so doing Lukaku Tasha now, like, say, oh, my striker, my striker. It'll suck out, man. You're pissing me off, I beg. But yeah, man, I don't know, man. It is what it is with him. Bundesliga is kind of wrapped up. I mean, you know, Bayern looked a little bit shaky, but they'll be all right. They got Lewandowski. He's like the greatest equalizer ever. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about Haaland.
Man, that guy's a freak, dog. He's a freak. Like, I don't got nothing else to say. Like,
that kid I said it. He's going to play 33 games this year in Bundesliga, 38 goals minimum.
Haaland.
That kid scares the living Jesus out of me.
That fucking rip he had for a game winner on Saturday.
Like,
just found like the tightest corner of the upper 90s. Like, yeah, I'm gonna rip this at 100 miles per hour.
When is that good? Those type of goals are just so natural. Like, those are the type of goals that when you're that good are the standard for you.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all the top strikers through the years. Those are the type of goals that you score where it's just like, yeah, I am clearly better than pretty much everybody else.
Bro, he's just scary, man. Like, just nuts. It's absolutely.
So where does he go? So where does he go?
Madrid.
You think he goes Madrid?
He's going Madrid.
So yeah. You don't think City have a chance?
Fuck no. If he was going to go to any English team, it would be United. But yeah, he's definitely going.
You really think United even next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think United have a good chance.
I feel like with the Ronaldo signing, it's like United.
You got to understand. This is the biggest thing about Haaland. Look who his agent is.
Oh yeah, a lot
of teams aren't going to dance with the devil. Let's just be frank.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You want to dance with Mino? No.
Yeah.
That boy wants 40 million for himself, 30 million for his pops, on top of the 75 million you're gonna give to Dortmund and the wages.
Yeah.
Nobody wins with the family feuds with Mino.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they got Messi playing against teams like Reims, bro.
he out here playing with breasts.
Stand it, bro. They got my guy playing.
I tell you what, there was one funny tweet from one of my favorite tweets. I want to see if I can find it, where he was talking about Messi trying one of these shoulder drops against one of these hyper-athletic fullbacks and him just being in for the shock of his life. And it's true, like, certain fullbacks, they won't care about it being Messi. They're just gonna end up booting him 6 feet in the air because, you know, they're just quicker and stronger than him. Do you know what I mean? So...
Bro, my running back is out for the season. I'm sad.
Dobbins?
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins has a torn ACL. I knew it was torn yesterday from the way everybody went quiet and the way his knee went back. I was like, yeah, that's done.
Players also know.
I want to send it to you guys now, yeah, because I'm dying. I'm crying again. Oh, man.
Yeah. Man United had this one play in the second half. It was the 61st minute, and like Varane was sending the ball in. No, it was Pogba sending the ball in, and they did 1, 2, 3, 4 United players making a run. They looked like they were doing slant routes. Guys pissed me off so much, bro. These guys literally just get on my nerves. They United. I'm so glad it's an international break. I'm going to see their bullshit for the next 2 weeks. Just it's so silly. Like, why do you guys have to be the way that you are? They don't need to be doing what they're doing, but whatever, man. The season's gonna be crazy. I think it's gonna be probably one of the best seasons we've ever seen. Just the amount of talent we have in the league is just stupid. Like, it don't make a lick of sense.
Premier League now is legitimately the best league in the world. Like, I genuinely it's so obvious and clear. The fact that everybody else is really poor as well, I feel like that's the great equalizer there as well. But genuinely, legitimately, the Premier League is clearly the best league in the world. Like, yeah, I don't think anybody can really debate that.
Had the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
Speaking of League One, shout out Tottenham. They signed Sarr. That one a good deal. They've been doing some interesting business this summer. Got Gil, who looks okay. They got Sarr. They got Romero from Atalanta.
You just saw it.
You
looking and he just pulled up the gun.
Oh man.
Yo, Messi's gonna play against AFCON Junior this league. He's gonna realize what real game is. that is funny. Well, we're gonna end this on some sad news. Amad Diallo apparently is loan move to Feyenoord is off because he picked up an injury.
No way.
And I wonder how bad it is.
That's like the perfect team for him too. Like Van Persie, he could have been learning from Van Persie for a year. Like just being with Van Persie for a year, he would have just come back to United just shooting the ball from stupid angles and scoring. Now I'm annoyed. And then
an injury in the last training with Leo's now at risk. Let's read this real quick.
We got one more thing to talk before we go. The brand tweet. Somebody was mentioning how how Messi is a bigger brand than Jordan Brand. First and foremost, they wear Jordan kits. Let's end it there. So let's end it there. That they wear Jordan kits.
A guy who played basketball has his logo on a football jersey. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's it. Like we talk about people. We talk about people transcending sports. I think Michael Jordan literally is the definition of that.
The jump man is on a football jersey. Shut up.
Yeah.
And shut up. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Sure. Also, question for you guys. Do you guys think that was a foul on Pogba and Ruben Neves?
No.
I'll be honest. I put this in a group chat, right? And they were like, oh, if you didn't watch the game, you won't know the content, blah, blah. Let me just state, you know, what I believe are the rules. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, right? Intentional or not, if you tackle someone and your studs up and you go over the ball, at the very least, to my understanding, that's a booking. That's whether so in the context of the game, yeah, obviously you can obviously see why the ref hasn't given it, cool, but the rules clearly state, you know, if that happens, you should be booked. I don't know if it's a straight red or if it's, you know, a yellow or whatever, but I just know that studs up over the ball and you've basically hit your shin ankle kind of thing, or you've missed it like sparingly or whatever, it should be a booking. Now I get why the ref didn't give it, but that exact same tackle will be given as a card next week. That's the thing. And that's why a lot of fans, and even as a United fan, like that's why you're probably frustrated as well, thinking the lack of consistency of these sort of things. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it. Like I'm not saying it's definitely a card, but I wouldn't be against it not being a red or yellow card, because again, the same exact same tackle will be carded next week. So that's my take on it.
Speaking of Ruben Neves, his deal's probably off to United now, the way he played. Sorry, I'm just trying to see this thing from the Barcelona game today. Memphis looks good in Barcelona.
He does. Wait, you said that Ruben Neves' deal probably off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about him. I know there's a sect of United Twitter that absolutely stands him and loves him.
I don't get it. I've always said
in the words of Drewski, that ain't me. That ain't me. So
I don't understand it. So it ain't for me, man. I'll tell you that much.
Not my cup of tea.
Y'all remember Kevin Strootman?
Yeah,
I do.
People loved him.
He plays for Calgary now. That is crazy. He was supposed to be that guy. Got a knee injury, and then just everything.
Was it the same season you guys signed Schmidfield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you call it? He carved out a nice career in Serie A though, between Roma and now Cagliari. Yeah. Could be worse things in life than living in Italy. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, could be.
Could be living in America. Sorry.
Relax. Y'all got anything else you want to add on before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. Willian is finally fucked off. Let's fucking go.
Man, don't talk like that. He did y'all a favor ripping that shit up.
No, generally, Arsenal deserve to have him for another 3 years, 100%. But, you know, like, we're really fucking stupid. Like, and we can't blame anybody but ourselves. But because of how much I despise him as a player, I'm so happy he doesn't get to, like, play for us. Like, he put it like this. I have turned off Arsenal games not even started watching Arsenal games because I've seen him in the squad. So I am incredibly glad.
Dang,
he means well. By mean well, I mean I really don't mean anything. He's a terrorist. That boy's stealing the paycheck, God bless. Honestly, you gotta respect someone like that who clocks in every day with a smile on their face, gets paid.
Yeah.
No qualms. Doesn't start, no problem. Starts, no problem. Off the bench, no problem.
I'm getting paid.
Make sure that direct deposit clears. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters, my boy.
Gotta see it through, my boy. But no. Season two, man. Yeah. This is season two of the podcast, by the way. Officially season two.
Yeah.
You're in season two.
Thank you guys for rocking with us. And we've got some special stuff coming.
Yeah.
I promise. We promise.
OnlyFans.com/Shirtland Plantain Show coming soon.
OnlyFans going up. You're gonna see us making biryani and plantains. Going crazy
Cam,
in
Cam this. Cam Soda for the uncensored footage of this podcast. We doing everything. Shout out our sponsor, by the way, Paramount Plus. I'm kidding. They're not our sponsors. I don't want to get scams and in trouble here, but
I'm about to say, "Ayo, relax."
Shout out our first sponsor, Nike. No, we gotta get some sponsors, dog. We overdue for that shit. Hey, if you got a business, holler at us. We will plug you in.
Yeah, we're trying to get some. We're trying to like take care of our family now. So, we're down to do hashtag sponsored, hashtag content.
We'll cut off the podcast in the middle. We'll cut a nice promo for you, like Scott Steiner. Say less.
Yeah. Manscaped, let us know. We're trying to talk about some shaving balls.
Manscaped, Man United, whatever the hell
it is. Hey, wait a minute, man. What's this? You shaving balls?
Manscaped, shirtless plantain show coming to you soon.
Coming to you soon, man, right there.
Don't nick your balls.
Whoever wants to plug it.